20-year history of alleged sexual offending, which was never flagged in any vetting process. In one instance, the Metropolitan Force missed records on the National Police Database linking his car with an allegation of indecent exposure. Chief Constable Gavin Stevens from the National Police Chiefs Council admits change is needed.
Some crimes in history send a signal. A signal not just about the depravity of the offender, but a signal to all of us that something is broken in society.
The father of the teenage boy who killed transgender teenager Brianna Jai has been jailed after admitting two sex offences. Carl Ratcliffe, who's 36, has been sentenced to 15 months behind bars for two counts of exposure and one of taking an indecent photo. The US president says reports of the Israeli military opening fire on Palestinians crowding around aid trucks in Gaza City would complicate ceasefire talks.
We're checking that out right now. There's two competing versions of what happened. I don't have an answer yet.
Are you worried about complicated negotiations?
I know, Will.
The Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza says at least 112 people died and hundreds more were injured. The Israelis admit live fire was used, but say that was because of the crowds. Soldiers were worried for their safety. The Prince of Wales has said anti-Semitism has no place in our society during a visit to a synagogue in central London. Prince William heard stories from young people and their experiences of anti-Jewish hate. Sainsbury's is cutting 1,500 posts as it tries to bring down costs by around £1 billion a year. Roles affected include those in its contact centre in Widnes in Cheshire and its in-store bakeries. And Strictly star Karen Howe has been remembering her former dance partner Dave Myers, saying he taught her how to take on the day with a big smile. The hairy biker star died aged 66. That's the latest. I'm Chris Milligan.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Right, your weather for this evening, rain. It's been raining all day and it's hanging around for most places this evening, and the cloud will eventually clear, but only in the early hours. Beautiful. There will be some clear spells for a time, but it will become increasingly windy, cloudy and wet around dawn. Your lows tonight are 3 degrees centigrade. Into tomorrow, rain will be clearing northeastwards to a few blustery showers tomorrow morning. It will be largely dry and bright in the mid to late afternoon, but variable cloud will develop through the evening. And guess what? The showers will be back. High tomorrow of 9 degrees centigrade.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Well, as you can guess, it is pretty grim out there and driving conditions are not the best. More of that later from Dan Hagger. Just starting off in Colchester, there is slow-moving traffic on the Lexton Road between Cymbeline Way and Balkan Hill. In Chelmsford, on the Victoria Road, slow-moving between Springfield Road and New Street. Also in Chelmsford, it's slow moving on the Westway between Rob Johns Road and Rittle Road. The A13 is slow between the Five Bells Interchange and the Pitsey Flyover. In Wickford, slow moving traffic between the Neverden Interchange, that's for the 127, and the London Road at A129. Billericay, slow moving on the High Street between Sun Street and the Western Road and Norsey Road lights. There are also temporary lights on the London Road heading towards Hutton, which are causing delays. And there's also a flood in Hutton on the London Road, just past the Meskin restaurant. Trains seem to be okay on Greater Anglia and C2C. On the Tube, there are minor delays as rush hour gets underway on the Bakerloo, Victoria and Metropolitan lines. But everything else seems to be okay. Well, my thanks as always to Joe Bailey for Drive. She's back again in March. From now until 7 o'clock, cricket with me, Darren Mutu, and 98 Not Out.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Cricket, lovely cricket, cricket licked the ball before...
Welcome along to 98 Not Out, Phoenix FM's weekly cricket magazine show. As always, loads to talk about. Hopefully you've just got in from work and you're drying out and just having a listen to this. If not, in your car, nice and safe and dry. Many ways to listen to Phoenix 98 on the FM dial in the central Essex area. Via the internet, phoenixfm.com. Via mixcloud.com. Or shout at your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM.
Lovely cricket. Got to lick the ball before it reached the wicket.
On tonight's show, we will be dominated by goings-on at the Essex County Cricket Club last night, where they had a members' forum. Joining me in the studio is my good old mate Dan Hagger, and we shall be talking about quite a lot of things that came out of that. At that meeting. If we've got time, we'll talk about England. We'll have a run around the counties and all the usual stuff. Music tonight includes Mr. Mark Butcher. Yes, that Mark Butcher. If you were listening last week, you will have heard that he's given us advanced exclusive playing rights of some of his new stuff from his album, which is out due shortly. So I'll be playing some more of that later on. And we'll be doing all the usual features of chat features. Anything that comes cricket related. Right, let's get going. It's cricket birthdays of the week. And happy birthday to Don Topley, who was 60 last Sunday. Yes, 60. He doesn't look it. He looks 70. Stuart McGill, 53. Matt Pryor, 42. Wazim Khan, 53. Graham Pollock, 80. Really? Murray Erasmus, 60. James Treadwell, 42. Azeem Rafiq, 33. David Willey, 34. Recent guest, Tim Breslin, 39. Azam, 39. Shakib Mahmood, 27. Ian Smith, the legendary Ian Smith, 67. Matt Quinn, 31. Sean Abbott, 32. Shahid Afridi, 44, again. Farouk Engineer, 86. Liam Dawson, 34. Adam Rayman, 44. Andrew Strauss, 47. Chris Wokes, 35. And Robin Dass, 22. And you can add to that list a couple of listeners this week. Matt Stamper is 57. And Greg Grindle is 55. Remember, if you want to add your name or someone that you know to that birthday list, email the show radio@phoenixfm.com, title email 98 not out, and just tell me whose birthday it is, how old they're going to be, and anything else you want us to read out on air. Make sure you do it.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, we had before Mr. Don Topley was part of that list, and he has requested, well, he always requests this one, but I thought we'd play it for him.
Tell her try your best just to make it quick. Pour my tin to the sink. Cause there must be something she can do. This heart is broken in two. Tell her it's a case of emergency.
a patient by the name of Gregory. Setters. My night nurse. Oh gosh. Oh, the pain is getting worse. I don't wanna see no doc. I need attendance from my nurse around the clock. Oh, there's no prescription for me. She's the one, the only remedy. Night nurse. Only you alone can quench the shatters. Prescription for me. She's the one, the only remedy. Night nurse. Only you alone can quench this shatter.
Gregory Isaacs and Night Nurse played that especially for Don Topley, who was 60, yes, 60, last Sunday. And don't forget, I think we read it out last week, Reese Topley, his famous son, was 30 last week. So a lot of partying going on in the Topley household.
Hello to Darren and the listeners of 98 Not Out. Just to let you know that the March issue of the Cricketer magazine is out now, and the centrepiece is a superb deep dive by Sam Moorshead into county finances. We also have Monty Panesar writing about his favourite cricketer, Sachin Tendulkar. And making up the lineup is David Gowan, Mike Brearley, Nasser Hussain, George De Bell, Kieran Pollard and Tanya Aldred. That's the March issue of the Cricketer magazine, out now.
That really is worth getting a copy of, particularly for that article from Sam Moorshead on the state of county cricket. It's a proper deep dive. Now, talking of county cricket, my guest in the studio this evening is the one, the only Kit Man Dan, Mr. Dan Hagger. Dan, how are you?
I'm not too bad yourself, considering the atrocious weather outside. Yeah.
There are a few puddles about, aren't there?
Yeah, more than a few, yeah.
Yeah, you've been halfway across the country and back today, haven't you?
Yeah, for work, yeah. I had to sort of do a van run this morning and come back. And then, yeah, back. I feel like I live on that A12 sometimes.
And it's one of the worst roads to spend too much time on as well.
Yes.
But you're here, and John Chubb, if you're listening, we need milk. Me and Dan have made ourselves some coffees, but we're having black coffee, so if it does sound a bit like we're on fire tonight, it's because we're drinking black coffee. Anyway, one of the reasons Dan is here, it's always a pleasure to have him in the studio, is that there was a meeting last night, the Essex Cricket Members Forum. It was online, quite well attended from what I saw, and hosted by the chairman, Anu Mahindru, treasurer Neil Faraday, co-CEO Dan Feist, and the CEO John Stevenson. I'm quite impressed by this panel. I think when we went to the AGM at the end of last year, it does feel like we've got people that are in charge, know what they're doing, and have got a bit of direction. And yeah, they were very impressive, weren't they?
Yeah, I think what was very noticeable from the AGM, that Anhu set his stall out straight away, especially with the previous sort of goings on.
Yeah,
he set his stall out straight away.
He kicked all that into the long grass, didn't he, properly.
Yes, he did. And like I say, yeah, he set his stall out straight away, and the thing is to move forward.
That's right. Now, yesterday in the morning, so we'll, there's a lot to sort of digest here, but let's just see with all what's gone on that. Hang on. Feverishly looking through my notes. Okay, so they set out a statement yesterday. So, in case you didn't know, Essex have been at the centre of allegations of racism, which have been go back quite a long way. There's been one report, the Newton report, which was published a few months ago, and the findings were acted upon by the club. And the club has still waiting for the ECB's report and any possible sanctions. But yesterday, the club did put out a statement which reads as follows. As part of our regular communications with members regarding the independent investigation into historic allegations of racism, Essex County Cricket Club can confirm that sanctions have been imposed against the individuals implicated in Catherine Newton Casey's report. Following the publication of Miss Newton's report on the 8th of December 2023, the club commissioned an independent committee that recommended disciplinary measures. While the individuals are not named to align with the report, Essex takes allegations of racism extremely seriously and measures the measures with the ECB and reaffirms the club's pledge to be instance occurring in the future. So they're not shying away from this, but there's been some things that have George DeBell writing in the paper.
Apparently that they should have been named.
That's right.
To be honest, the club have dealt with it, and I don't think they're going to, naming it, well, but the main thing is they've dealt with it.
Exactly. And I think if you stop putting names out there, it creates, and in this day and age of internet and social media, it just creates another can of worms. And I think
we're going to move on.
Exactly right.
You know.
Exactly. And I think that's the message that was sent at the AGM, and again, Anu was quite clear. Yeah. And I like the way that he's not messing about with anything and not being sidetracked by nonsense. What was talked about last night was sort of a clear vision for the future. As I said, that process has ended for the club. They're waiting for the ECB. And they started off by basically talking about the fast-moving landscape in the world of cricket. But for Essex, that does create opportunities. Now, they've got an aim, and it's really good to have a roadmap of where you want to be. They want to be the number one county by the year 2030. 2030 is important. We'll go on about that in a bit. But just to summarise, ground development is essential. Anyone that's been to Essex recently will know that it's not in the best state. If you've not been to Essex in the last 30 years, you haven't missed anything, because it's exactly the same.
Pretty much, I think.
And it does need to, and with noises coming from the ECB that to survive, you need to be state of the art. And we've been saying this, you and I have been talking about this for ages and ages. You know, the paying public needs to have, or they expect better. So, in terms of the timelines, key guests, and there are a few things that are worth noting. So 2025 will be the centenary, the 100 years of Essex cricket, which is a big deal. The Women's World Cup, we know that Kenton has got a deep relationship. Basically part of 2026 World Cup. And then I'm going to say that 1.35 over the last 4 years. Investigative club and community cricket. They're probing in all the right areas, yes. I think.
To be honest, I'd say they're and be the number one cricket region.
That's right, yeah.
We have a very big catchment area. You bring in Cambridgeshire, Norfolk, Suffolk, plus the East London area. We have a very big catchment area, and they really want to make full use of it.
That's right. And I think that's there was the old adage. I can remember listening to some crusty old members when I'm sitting in front of the pavilion 20 years ago, and they used to complain, but it was actually not a bad observation, that Essex was almost like Chelmsford and District Cricket Club. That was a term that got bandied about.
Yeah, this is the thing. We've got, with Middlesex and Surrey around London, we're sort of fighting for space for them, you know, to try and attract, try and pull them over to us. But there's been a lot of players that come from Norfolk, Suffolk, Cambridgeshire up way, and also are in the current squad as well.
Yeah.
So, it's... they've got a big region there to touch, and that is the angle.
Yeah, and I think, just my view, there's noises coming from the 100 about a third London-based franchise. And there's people that say, oh, no, why London? They've already got two. But I think the Grumbler was saying... the other week. Now, he doesn't like talking. He won't even name it. He calls it the tournament that shall not be named, doesn't he? But he's saying, and he's well steeped in sports and the commercial aspect of sports, that he said, why would you stick it in the middle of nowhere where only a few people can turn up? You want to, it has to be a city based thing. And if you're going to look at it from a commercial point of view, the most people are in London. And from various other bits and pieces that I've read through social media and in the cricketing press over the week, there's kind of talk about putting it in the London Stadium, former Olympic Stadium.
Well, we were at one stage looking to move T20s to Stratford with a drop-in pitch.
That very, very nearly happened, didn't it?
That nearly did happen. But obviously, it's a lot of cost to have a drop-in pitch put in there, and time as well. Now that West Ham are based there.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing. It's a very crowded... I mean, if you were thinking about a cricket season... It would overlap with the start of the... I mean, the football season starts earlier and earlier these days, doesn't it? So beginning of August almost. And then you've got athletics that are based there.
Yep.
How you do it, I don't know. But that's just one of the things that's been bandied around. But then Dan gave us an artist impression of what the... So we were talking about ground development, and there are two options on the table.
Yeah.
One is to find and develop somewhere new, which... They didn't really expand on. They are looking.
They are keeping that card close to their chest. All we know of one in Essex and two not in Chelsea.
That's right.
But I think it's going to be... they'll put that card close to somewhere where that is. It's going to be that you hope, if it is, it will have links, transfers,
More of that in a minute.
Yes, it would help me, I know that. You just hope that what they do, if they do have to go outside, that'll be an area where we can have all we need. We're not, because the problem with Chelmsford, as everyone knows, we are hemmed right in, we are short space. If we ever did go outside, we have to make sure we've got everything we need.
Yeah. But it's a long wish list, isn't it?
It is.
Links.
Ideally, I think everyone likes to have it still at Chelmsford and the push that redeveloped.
It was unveiled last night. Very, very impressive, I thought. Basically, where the
chemistry.
That would all get replaced. Band, which yes. we were talking earlier, looks yeah. a bit like Trent Bridge, doesn't it?
Yes. If you sit, say, if you stand at the pavilion end at Trent Bridge and look to your left-hand side, you'd, that sort of architecture of... It does sort of give you that impression, that architecture of that stand on the left-hand side at Trent Bridge. But underneath, there would be sort of... like possibly like a Premier Suite sort of thing
yeah.
underneath.
Yeah.
Which would hopefully be and let us be able to host our own end of season players awards dinners, big sort of things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was one of the sort of the overall things was making it a multi-purpose venue
yeah.
And having income all the year round as opposed to just during the cricket season. Those stand designs were really good.
Yeah.
And also part of it with a. It was quite clever, I thought. Someone I saw today said, oh, it's just a rehash of the David East plan from 20 years ago. It really is not.
No.
It really is. It's much out. Things like they want to put a media centre down at the river end. Or is it the Gooch end, the Grand Gooch end?
The Cook end,
yeah. Encourage Sky to come down.
Yeah, the media centre is...
yeah.
It's getting on a bit.
Especially when Don Topley's in there.
yes. But no. I think the thing is, in the winter, Essex moved the medical centre from the river at the back of the media centre, the river end, and put it down next down to the end of the suite. Something does happen to again, so they're trying to scrap down the access road. And then on the and the spinner where the spinner's bar is, there's also looks like there's where the club offices will be
That's
moved
right.
to. And yeah, and to be honest, the plans look very. And I was glad they kept the cricket school as well.
Yep.
And they're going to build two sort of
either side of the school,
hotel sort of okay, to have a bridge come in where the outside practice nets are, and to have a puzzle area.
That's really
important. That looks
so they're
nice.
Going to build this bridge over from Central Park. So it's easier access from the town if you walk in there. You won't have to snake your way around or under that bridge. It's a proper wide kind of... And it would be impressive as you're walking up there to see the ground and everything else in front of you. And putting a plaza there, and I did ask the question last night, I mean, would there be an opportunity to get more income from encouraging retailers to come there? So, you know, restaurants, bars, whatever else.
Well, I mean, if... Yeah, I suppose possible on idea, world idea. At Canterbury, they have a cafe, an outside cafe there. Actually looks, looks outside on the ground.
Yeah.
And something like that, I think, and especially in the winter, would be nice to so you can sort of see what's been going on or anything, you know.
That's right. And I think also having that... You know, that bridge looks like it's quite wide. It could, you know, it reminded me a bit of Wembley Way. You know, when you're walking up. But also, we'll talk about parking in a minute. But if they did a deal with the multi-story, if you parked in multi-story, it's easy to get across from there.
Yes, it's location, and to be honest, a secure site as well. And the opening hours of it would cover cover floodlight games as well.
That's right.
So, yeah, it would be a... I think that would be a plus point as well.
So, you mentioned about the buildings around the indoor school. So, student accommodation one end and a hotel at the other. Now, the club are in talks with three very well-known hotel companies. I didn't mention who they were. But they would be a sort of a keystone investor in this whole project.
Yeah.
And it would be the case that Essex Cricket Club would... retain ownership of the ground, the freehold, if you like, and the hotel company would basically take over the running and the cost of the hotel and contribute to the funding of the whole thing. There was a lot of talk about how the funding was going to be, but we'll go into that in a minute. But they were very clear about all of that. But the interesting thing, or the overriding thing about this part of the discussion, was that this new stadium will hold 10,500 people.
Yes.
Which I reckon is about the right amount.
I think it's spot on. The minimum was 10,000 to get it up to what was required. 10,500, I think, is spot on. That will, I believe, that will cover the sort of demand for T20s.
Oh, you'll pack that out.
T20 tickets when they go, you know, people possibly, you know, miss out on getting them. In, you know, and like I say there'll be an extra probably 3,000 there.
Yeah.
So and just falling with the hotel sort of student sort of thing. Another way, I think the away fans that come, hotels right on the doorstep. A similar thing was put up at Ipswich Town Football Club. Travelodge was there. The other thing, if students, you know, they can do the job. There's jobs, possible catering jobs. They can do sort of short term to help. You know,
I think it's a clever thing because I'm sure that if you're going to build student accommodation, I'm sure you can get grants or subsidies. Yeah. The government, and as you say, it's a huge resource for casual work at the club.
That's on their doorstep.
Yeah, right there. Waitresses, bar staff, whatever, stewards. So I like the sort of deep thinking that's gone on with all of this. I think, you know, it's really, really good. 10,500 is the right amount you will get on a T20 night.
It was not 20 feet into the spot. It was never going to be anything like that.
No.
So, as I say, spot on to cover what is required and help us.
New stand, really great. Going around from where the premises is, where the existing pavilion is. And then the Tom Pierce is being redeveloped on three levels. What they're doing in all these stands is there's a bit like what you've got at the Old Trafford. And now at the Oval, the sort of roof terraces where paying punters can go and stand around and drink and watch the game.
No, that's excellent. I mean, this southwest stand, which will sit where the Premier Suite is, I believe in itself will be 3,500 capacity for that stand.
Yeah, that's right.
The roof terrace. I mean, I still like to sit. I mean, at the moment, obviously, it's just a thing. Presumably when the model comes out and we can then look a bit more, we can sort of put a bit more meat on the bones when it does sort of come out. But it's definitely very promising.
Listening to BSFM, this is 9:10 without any download. In the studio, my guest is super fan Dan Haggar. We are talking about the development of the meeting at Essex last night, the members forum. We'll have more in a minute, but let's just break, take our breath with a bit of music. Now, I was watching some of the Pops the other night on BBC Four. My Friday nights are very rock and roll. It's from 1981, and this was on, and I'd totally forgotten all about it. This is The Passions. I'm in love with a German film star.
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I'm John Charby, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. Local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Tune in to the Sunday Sessions on Phoenix FM every Sunday morning, 10 till 12, with me, Kevlar. I'll be bringing you tracks from local artists. Most of those tracks are recorded down at our open mic, which takes place every Monday at 8pm at the Essex Arms in Brentwood, right next door to Brentwood Station. Come along and just watch, or if you're a singer or songwriter, come along and sing us a song.
Sing, sing, sing.
It's me, Michelle Ward. A prawn cocktail.
I love a prawn cocktail.
I'm always rambling. What is the mayor's chain called? In fact, I never stopped talking. And I rubbed, basically, all of the skin off the inside of my thigh. You can answer my question of the day.
Michelle.
I think men go through the menopause from about the ages of 18 to 65. And after that, they die. Fantastic guests and super music. Why am I lacking in the diet? Humour, really?
Yes.
Weekdays 10 till 1.
You're listening to 98 Not Out on Phoenix FM. Just got some breaking news coming in. Actually, we're talking here about Essex. And I've just received a message that Essex's fixture against Sussex Sharks becomes the first T20 in the country to sell out in 2024. So we were talking about how popular T20 cricket is at Essex, so there you go, and that will be that'll be a good game as well. So. In the studio with me is my special guest tonight, Dan Hagger. We're talking about the events that went on at the Essex Members Forum last night, and we're talking about the ground development. Now, we've talked about all the plans, and it all looks fantastic from the artist impressions and the sort of video. We are long past the days of drawings on bits of paper, and there was a very impressive animation of what it would all look like. But the question is, how to fund it? Now, I've got good memories. We'll remember that a similar thing was put forward back in the days of David East, probably nearly 20 years ago, about redeveloping the ground back then. Someone's put on the rehash of David East. No, it's not. It's completely different. This has got direction. And the funding, and with David East, it was to construct three blocks of flats. The builders would pay for that, or the proceeds of that would pay for it. Obviously, it all went wrong, and the builders, it just didn't happen for whatever reason. This is completely different. And the board last night, which was, I'll repeat, was made up of Anu Mahindru, the chairman, Neil Faraday, the treasurer, Dan Feast, the co-CEO, and John Stevenson, the CEO, took the bull by the horns and addressed how it will be funded. Now, there are several ways that they can fund this project, assuming that they choose to stay at Chelmsford, but more of that in a second. So how are they going to fund this? Firstly, with the help of the local authority. Secondly, the ECB has an infrastructure fund, which they could possibly tap into. Debt is inevitable. It's just a fact of life. You can't take on projects like this and the sums of money involved without incurring and assuming certain levels of debt. Private investment is the other avenue of funding. Now, the overall scenario would be for Essex to remain as landowner. The hotel, Essex would remain freeholders, but the hotel company would be responsible for the operation and the cost of the hotel itself. They did state that we might not own everything outright. So remember, there's a lot going on here. There's the cricketing side of things, there's the hotel, the student accommodation, this plaza that we've talked about, which hopefully will attract lots of leisure facilities, bars, restaurants, etc., etc. Might get a decent cup of coffee. And the club is looking for a healthy return on the capital that they provide. So it all sounds really good. There is the equivalent plan for another ground. And as we said earlier, they haven't identified where that is going to be, but they are investigating it. And then they will come up with a plan. But I would suggest that that's going to mean as much, if not more, in terms of work and cost to establish a new ground.
Yeah, you've got to start, basically, you've got to start from scratch again.
That's it. And as I know from similar experiences at Billericay Cricket Club, the timeline, which we went into great depth about when we were being circled by developers, it's 7 years from breaking ground to bowling a ball. So the board will decide, once the plan's in place, they will decide what to put in front of the members, and the members will be asked to vote for final consent. So they are doing this all the right way, so long as nobody starts mentioning Christmas tree lights.
Well, you know, I mean, that's an, you know, could be a deal breaker, couldn't it? You know, Christmas tree
lights. You better explain. That's a bit of an in-joke between me and Dan.
God,
at the AGM, when there was a lot of heavy subjects to be discussed, and when it went to the floor for questions, one of our esteemed members stood up and asked why the Christmas tree lights weren't being switched on.
Absolutely boggles the mind. You know, it really does.
So one of the questions were invited from at the floor last night, and thank God this time there were sensible questions. And one of those was about how this would affect the club or the team in terms of playing. I should stress as well that under this new plan, Chelmsford, they cannot physically extend the playing area.
No.
Now, you can argue about that, but it's a fact of life. As we know, you know, the county ground is restricted in terms of space. There's nowhere to go, but there's enough room.
Yeah.
So, can the answer was a straight can he play? The build will be in phases, which won't disrupt playing. And if anything was to start, was it the end of 2025 they were talking about?
Yes.
Starting
Yeah, it will go summer. The board will sort of look at it in the summer of 25, and then it will go to a members' vote in the autumn of that year as well.
Right, exactly. Personally, I hope that they go with this Chelmsford plan, because it is really good. And I'm not sure if it's on the Essex website as yet or not, but keep an eye out for it, because it does look really good. And I said earlier on that the roadmap has 2030 in sight, and we gave the reasons for that a bit earlier on. But 2030 is probably going to be a domestic World Cup.
It
would be fantastic grounds to host a World Cup fixture. I've seen World Cup games at Chelmsford.
Yes, 99 World Cup. There was two games. That was Bangladesh, New Zealand, and South Africa, Zimbabwe, which was the one at Zimbabwe won. It's all nothing than that. The 99 World Cup.
That's right. Well, you see, because I'm so much older than you, I was there in 1980. At Chelmsford, watching Kapil Dev and India smashing Australia, and that was a very strong Australia. Well, it's always a strong Australian side, isn't it?
I've seen footage of Kapil Dev in 1990 when he stuck Eddie Hemmings into the into the building works, quite literally.
Oh yeah, that incredible scene.
As well, I believe.
So 2030 is hosting a World Cup game will be. Asking on the cake for the whole project, I think. So members are being invited to invest in all of this. Various ways, a couple of examples were given. Bonds, where you, I would guess, varying maturities and varying dividends, but basically you loan the money, you loan the club money, and they will pay you a dividend or a yield on those bonds, and you'll get a return there. Or just something a lot more basic, but I think is very, very successful, and we've seen it as Dan was saying when the music was on, Ipswich Town have done this successfully as well. Buy a brick, so you can basically have
myself.
have a brick in the development with your name or whatever else on it, and a little message. That's a really popular thing and can raise a decent amount of money without trying too hard. So as we said, late 2025 is potential when they're envisaging starting work on all of this. Now, there were questions about the cost of all of this, but really, it's do or die, I think, from the way they were talking.
To be honest, Darren, I think it is. We desperately need new facilities. We need our ground redone. Chelmsford is the best option. It has everything surrounding it as well, and I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a a hard slog a bit.
Mm.
But if the membership can pull together, like they did in 2020 in the COVID year, they pulled together and that sort of support, then I think that, like I say, that's what we need.
Yeah, and I think
so. It can be done,
Yeah, it can. It can. I just. Well, I don't worry. I do worry that certain parts of membership will miss the point with all of this.
Are these the militant ones?
There are some militant ones out there. But, it's not too hard a thing to explain to even the most disruptive of people that if you want Essex to survive, this has to be the road to go down. And this, it's not the 1970s or the 1980s. No. This is 2024 and the realities of this new world of cricket. Now, the shadow that hangs over all of this, and it was dealt with last night, is franchise cricket. Now, the question was asked, and we were told it's an ongoing conversation, generally. The ECB are talking about the future of the 100. I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
No.
We know that there's a contract in place till 2028. Probably better to be part of the conversation than not, I would suggest. Yes, we shall see, but that's still a long way off. But I think more importantly is the case of having a fit-for-purpose facility to just sort of strengthen your case when you go and doing it. There was other stuff about membership, and I think adult membership is more or less the same year on year.
Yes. I'm a life member now, so.
Ah,
but I believe it is sort of roughly the same. If you take the early bird option, which is now obviously passed, but you do. It's still, I think, there's still definitely less than a cost of a football season ticket anyway.
Well, what was interesting is that there's been a huge increase in junior memberships, which is what we want to see. The whole, whether it's the 100, whether it's T20, whether it's Red Bull, whatever. The future is the youngsters.
Yeah.
And that is a really, really good thing to see that in a junior membership. So well done to everyone at Essex on the membership side of things. Yep. I was going to say membership committee, but I'm not going to get involved.
The staff at Essex work so hard.
Yeah.
And, they do so much, behind the scenes and everything. And they really are a great, great bunch of people. The juniors, you've only got to see after a floodlight T20, and the players are signing autographs and everything. Absolutely love it. And thus we can get. They can do that. That one night might just get them hooked, into it, get them hooked.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I went there as a youngster. I'm sure you did as well. And it's get that hook, and that's
well. Personally, when I first went, that was 20 years, so I'd have been about 21.
Right.
And it was only come down into the place, and it just literally, took
it does get you, doesn't it? I'm sure everyone that's listening will be nodding away going, yep, I know what you mean. There were more questions about the 100. Clearly, the membership, aside from all this grand about it, obliterating the council soon. Points were made with talks ongoing. John Stevenson was asked for the club's position at this current state of things, and he said that they have significant reserves about the expansion of the 100.
There was talk of having a Western franchise between Gloucestershire and Somerset at one stage as well. The 100, it's here at the moment. It doesn't look like it's going to be going away anytime soon. The 50th, it at least gives us a pathway for our youngsters to get first team cricket.
That's right. And what we've got to remember, like it or not, and this is all a consequence of what happened in 2005, is that Sky are basically calling the tune.
Yep.
And, they are basically telling everyone, even, you talk about this ground development, the media centre that Essex are proposing is built around keeping Sky accommodated.
I mean, basically with Sky now, they can literally go to these grounds and literally just plug in, and they've got everything infrastructurally set up. With us, it's a case of, you know, parking lorries in a car park, losing the car, effectively wheeling out lots and lots of cable, and it's got to the stage where it's too much for them to come and do.
Yeah.
So they've basically
they used to love
avoided,
coming to us.
They're basically avoiding us.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Parking, you've let me, you're weeding my mind tonight. there's a bit of a discussion going on about car parking at the moment. Yeah. Now, the Meteor Road car park is no longer free anymore.
It's not, no. The parking charges were this year. They've come back. It's £3 on the day, £2 pre-booked, and £30 for a 28-day season. But it's payment by card only.
Right.
I think if you sort of looked at it, that 28 days at a quid is near enough a quid a day. Is what it was before they... Anyway.
And you know what? The club's got to earn money.
And it could well even be that the council have lent on the club to say, look, you know, you keep having this for free.
Yeah.
You know, this can't keep going on.
But, I mean, councils need money as well, so I don't have a big problem with that. The only... buy your ticket, and let's say you get 1,000 season tickets and 3,000 places.
You might have to get some white paper. or even tarmac, you know.
Oh,
I mean, but
yes.
Well, it will be. I think it'll be first come, the early bird will catch a worm, won't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Always been my sort of thing. So,
Brentwood and Billericay. This is Mix FM.
Towards the top of the hour. John Chubb is here at 7 o'clock. My good mate, John Chubb. Love his show, the non-league hour, 7 till 8, and 8 o'clock. Gareth Williams, Mr. Smoothie himself, is here with Bumper to Bumper. 10 till midnight, Madeline Christie with The Night Shift, which is another great show. Country music, old and new. And even if you don't like country music, give it a listen, because you might just surprise yourself with some of the stuff she plays. We've got 5 minutes left. I just want to fit in some news from the counties. We're focusing on counties tonight. There's no point talking about England being done to death. Middlesex, this is interesting. Middlesex has posted a profit after tax for the financial year of £131,000. The club had posted successive losses since 2016, so it's quite a turnaround after an overhaul of the club's financial structure. Now, the audited accounts will be presented to members at the club's AGM in April. That's very interesting in my book.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, perhaps a little better than me at accountancy and things like that. But have you actually stripped everything off the
bone to
do that? But they've pinching down for 3 years. But, yeah, I mean, you don't want to see a county go bust and go because it's cutting people's nose off to spite their face.
Yeah.
Enjoy cricket.
Now, other news. Derbyshire signed Kiwi fast bowler for the start of their 2024 season. He will be available in Derbyshire's county championship games in 8 after blast. Also, at Ben Hamster for the 2024 blast. He scored 901 runs in his 32 appearances for Hampshire, making 9 half centuries. Owen Morgan has been appointed the new PCA on a Friday, the 19th of July. The England Masters, the old county ground, Brentwood. Great day out, and you get to meet some proper legends in the England game. And all happy to take selfies and sign autographs and all the rest of it. Buying a beer. Friday the 19th of July. For full details, go to the Brentwood website, or you can email them events@brentwoodcricketclub.co.uk. Well, that's it. We've managed to whittle through another hour in no time at all. My notes are a waste of time because I've not even touched them. My thanks to Dan Hagger for joining me in the studio. Great as always, Dan. Thank you for coming down, and we'll get you back very, very soon. Playing us out tonight, Mr. Mark Butcher, the one and only. This is new music from him. This is called Cold Eyes, Cold Heart. John Chubb is up next.
your small wing.
Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.